This is Coxy FM 97.0.
Now, already we know that if people start having conversation about books, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot that can go on there. And, you know, it obviously plays with your mind. And, you know, I'm sure she was attracted by the fact that, oh my gosh, he's so smart, he's an intellect. And he reads. And he reads.
And so says someone who's talking about books with me today right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I've just found my future wife. It is 28 minutes heading to 8 o'clock on Coffee FM 97.0. As I promised you, we have on the line Khotso, who's joining us from Gauteng. About some of the measures, some of the ways that we as men, young men in particular, young men who are still in their early 20s towards their late 30s, young men who are still students and young working professionals can go about in making sure that we take care of ourselves. Let's welcome him first. A very warm welcome to you, Khotso, and thank you very much for joining us here on Coffee FM.
Thank you so much, Mr. Moloi. I really appreciate it for reaching out.
One of the titles that you go by is the one of being an image consultant. Now,
yes, sir.
Can you take us through just a brief definition of what it means to be an image consultant?
Okay, being an image consultant is basically the equivalent of being an image doctor, because through my consultation, I can diagnose the client, for example, what kind of style are they about, or would they like to, you know, go after. So that's just to give you an overview. That's more or less what I do. Diagnose the kind of style, and obviously now what they would like to see themselves, you know, in the future.
And when you are doing that kind of analysis as to what kind of style is fit for them, what do you normally look for and in them? How do you break them down, their personality, the things they love, so that you can decide, or navy blue has here how AC Monagina knows make a purple?
Yes, obviously, it includes such things. For example, I wouldn't recommend a color that I would think would not be make a client comfortable. I check with them first whether they would be comfortable with a certain color and the fit as well, the material, and so on and so on. So those are some of the things that I ask from the client and then work around that, because at the end of the day, it's all about bringing about that X factor. Because I mean, it's pointless for me to just have clients consulting with me, but then they still look like everybody else. So I incorporate personality as well, and some of their favorite things as well, because I also want to include that sense of authenticity in their looks.
And the X factor that you're talking about, I'm sure, has to also be for them and not necessarily to attract women. Because one of the challenges that we face is that you'd find men that take care of themselves. Mara, how we shape this a hand and trainer has a molemong wahao as a man, but it is because you want to be perceived a certain way by women. What is the importance of internalizing the self-care, the self-image, and all these nice things we do to ourselves so that they belong to us and not necessarily as a bait to get women?
Obviously,
but
this thing is something that we someone once said that beauty goes inside out. As much as we shy away from using the word beauty, we're now talking about men, but it also applies. Aesthetics will always be aesthetics. So beauty starts from within, and that tells you that, you know what, if it starts from within, that means it needs to be genuine. You understand? So you need to do it because you understand it. You need to do it because you want it for yourself. So, okay, we've also witnessed cases of the Chamaboya and Zeva. You know, they're out here getting our sisters, getting our girlfriends. But beauty starts from within. You need to want it for yourself. You need to understand exactly why you're doing it.
And also one of the challenges that we face then is the judgment that comes from society when a man is taking care of himself. You know, your sexuality gets in question. Not that it matters anyway, but, you know, those are some of the remarks that get passed by a lot of people in society. As a man, how do we go around and about in making sure that we change their perceptions?
The metrosexual man has been around. The metrosexual man has been around, and it's said that we still have to go through scrutiny. Your sexuality ends up being questioned when you are a man who has who is gifted in their image. You go as far as, you know, getting a pedicure, getting a manicure, you know, getting a facial. And as society, I feel like it's about time that we move away from that, because it doesn't make sense that we condone women taking care of themselves and we leave ourselves out. It doesn't make sense, because at the end of the day, there needs to be that balance. There needs to be that balance. For example, when you as a man are looking for a partner, I mean, you look for someone who has some of the attributes that you have. So if you look for someone who takes good care of himself, it only makes sense that you also take good care of yourself. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
Yes, you do. And I want to come in also and talk about self-acceptance and understanding your identity as a man. Because there would be a man that says, "Nakile Pantsula." So how do I stay neat and clean and presentable within the identity that I've chosen? I'm not into these suits, you know, Instagram and stuff. How do I look neat and love myself within my chosen identity?
Just to simplify for you, sir, I'm just going to quote this. The Bible says, cleanliness is next to godliness. You can now have a little, but keep it simple and neat. For example, there's this connotation that the old stars are not going to have it. That doesn't make sense, because they stink. Men need to own up. Men need to start being more responsible. Wash their feet, wash their shoes, wash their socks, change their underwear. So, but be neat, wash your clothes.
And I see that we asked this question on our social media platforms. We asked him, how can men go about in taking care of themselves? Ke bona basadi ba lla ka mona mona khotso rena le Nombulelo Bridget Minimatsio yena ore, please tell men they must also use moisturizers on their faces and also on their ankles, and also go for manicures, sling, lady pedicures. And then we also have Deliwe yena ore, can khotso deal with the issue of foot odor, please. We also have the likes of Titi Mokoena le ena a buang ka taba e o re ha o gahlisi ha motho a ntate ho a gahlisa motho a ntate a na le manala a matle e bile a le moist se fahleong le ma qaqailana hae a o batho modimo ntate jo nna re tla bona re ntse vang. And then we have also Thagalo Mashabela are and their elbows as well. I've seen a lot of men with ashy elbows. Now, it seems like this is the kind of conversation that women have been having subliminally, and they're only coming out in the open now. Hi, Lori, we're saying, okay, it's time for men to also take care of themselves. They're like, yeah, khalenze re mameletse di re fitsena tsa lona tseng khantsena. Now, ha ke tsebe, but at a practical level, re qala kae hore re qale ka the conversation, given the gender stereotypes tse tswang ka ra di family tsa rona, hore ha o le moshimane o tswa o seng ha o alolelo alola ha o ithlatswetse ha o yetseng because o na le bo ausi. So how do we even begin, and is it some kind of a war that we can even win?
I think if now I can be more specific, in our families we are given so much freedom. We are given so much freedom, and it's so easy to just neglect ourselves along the way. For example, you can't compare the two. You can't, she's doing all the chores, and the boy is out hanging out with his friends, or they're doing whatever they're doing at that time. At that time, Utokuta, all he's asking for is food. So we are programmed, you know, from home that, no, it's okay, neglect yourself. You know, do whatever you do, neglect yourself. So the importance of, you know, taking care of yourself at home, I feel like it's not really emphasized on. It's not that instilled. So if we were taught from home that as a man, it's okay if you want to bark 2 times a day, there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Now, but someone else might come and argue from a point of the career choices that we make as different men and say, hore, mesebetsi emeng ha o shebile makala a tshwanang le bo engineering, valovalo. You'd find that there's so much contact that you have, le chemicals and stuff tse loreng di ditshila. E loreng a person who'd say maybe sebetsa officing, they only have contact, le, let's say, the dirtiest thing they can ever contact. Ke madu di tshila mosebetsing kapa ke dipampiri. Now, should we take that into consideration, kapa ha se excuse ho hamfela ho sa khatheletse go sebetsa kae, you must always be presentable.
Ntatemoloi, there can never be an excuse. Your first instinct, how kopana le tshila, is to get rid of it. Regardless whether o mosebetsi, regardless whether o kae, your first instinct, how kopana le tshila, is to get rid of it. So men need to move away from just merely fulfilling a basic need and actually, you know, invest in their images. So we need to get to another level. As you've asked earlier on, girls, ladies are complaining.
So what I've realized also is that how motho a mme a sa itlokomele, you'd find hore we even say it hore a wena manyeo o le mosadi ha o tse bo hlapa ka pa o tse bo etsa vang. But it never happens ka motho a ntate ho hamfela. In fact, we say hore botle ba ntate ke dikgomo tsa hae. There's nothing to do with how we look. We've created an enabling space ka dintho tse loreng ra di bua. But anyway, we're sitting at 16 minutes heading to 8 o'clock. This is the interview on Kofsi FM 97.0. It's your leading talk, news and actuality show here in Central South Africa, exclusive to Ultimate Campus Radio. Kasana Sibaka, we're in conversation with Kgotso Gila, who is joining us live from Johannesburg, and Rebuisa Navalo about men and hygiene. Retlonka break, bobunyane fela, and then Hare Khutla bona, retlo tswela pele ka puisano ya rona. Thank you very much for joining us.
This is Kofsi FM 97.0.
He told her that, you know, he, you know, a friend of his invited him to church, and now he's saved, and he's also on this new spiritual journey with the Lord. And that's where the sparks flew, because actually she had prayed for God to make him and her work together, because she told God that, you know, I really want to date this guy. I really want this guy to be my husband. Lord, if you can fix it, please.
I can look at the hormones. Balance his hormones.
It's other things.
Mighty Father.
Because he can do all things.
I like, you know, got a fornication in that. Muluki, sekonyana, ulo.
Your Kofsi FM.
We're having a bit of technical issues with our guest on the line, so we'll try. Okay, we have him back. We're having a bit of a disconnect. Kgotso, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, sir.
All right, welcome back. We're worried, Ripotarna. Maybe we're busy talking about men and hygiene. At the people that you live with, Mo Johannesburg, have I tired? Vale ba utlo re ke montso bua ka go ba hlape ba re ena go montsetsa o papa ena re tima microphone. But talking about that, I mean, I was saying it in a just humorous context, but it does happen where you find that some men would discriminate against you, kapa ba decide fela ga batlo thabela just because you take care of yourself. As a person e loreng o rata lesela, o rata o dula o itlhokometse ka dinako tsohle, have you ever been prejudiced against ke banna ba bang kapa just society at large based on how you've chosen to present yourself?
Funny enough, when under the Malawi, even some women, I've had some women tell me that, you know what, I'll never date you. I will never date you. You are too mean for my liking. And I would sit there and ask myself, what is wrong? What exactly is wrong with being me, with taking care of myself? So I've had to endure some of those you know, comments, remarks, you know, made at me. Some even, you know, they go as far as my sexuality. I've had men, tell me that, you're gay. You know, I've had some women as well tell me that, I know, this level of neatness is just gay.
And I mean, it talks to, when it comes to the issue of women, the question of fragile femininity that we don't even talk about. How, when you as a man have your ducks in the row, you have everything figured out, you don't need to be built by anyone. Or at some point, women look at you and they find you repulsive. Or, you know, because it's just too perfect. And then, but the conversation is, of course, not just about, you know, the personal. We're also looking at the political of the industry. Because beauty, taking care of yourself, fashion, all of that is an industry on its own. And you want to get into that space. How has it been for you personally, moving from Bloemfontein, going to Gauteng and trying to infiltrate the market that side?
Obviously, first of all, more like to go Tagabaga. Bloemfontein, it was easy because I only started in 2014 when I realized that, you know what, there's actually a gap that I need to fill, and obviously the desire, you know, that was burning inside of me. But as soon as I moved this site, because there's lots and lots of image consultants, and you know, we're all in different levels, you know, so everyone has their own different story to tell. So when I got the site, I realized, man, I still have a lot to learn. And being the kind of person I am, I just opened myself, you know, I opened myself and worked with other people because I believe in the power of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started working with other people, learning from how they do things. Because first of all, we can't deny the fact that, you know, the landscape, how everything is done here and how everything is done in Bloemfontein, totally different.
What are the differences?
For example, in Bloemfontein, it was easy for me to do my consultation. It was very easy for me to just, you know, pick a central place,
mm-hmm,
and meet up with the client and do what I need to do. But here, because knowing that Johannesburg, everything is too far apart, you know, I need to, you know, have everything in order. I need to know, oh, okay, this client stays here. Okay, now maybe this mall or this place might be the central place for them, you know. So those are some of the things that I needed to get myself used to. That it's not easy to navigate. It's not easy to reach clients. Sometimes you're just late for an appointment, and not because you wanted to, because the traffic was just terrible.
But I can imagine also one of the things that you might find very interesting on that side would be the fact that it doesn't take long for a fashion trend to actually, you know, trend more Johannesburg compared to Bloemfontein, where you find it. By the time you run out of the double press, you can't get any of the people who are doing something else.
Yes, sir. And I like that you just raised it up. I had a meeting with someone just a few hours ago, and he was asking me, as someone new to Gauteng in overall, and I told him that I just picked something up. Because what we do as people who've been staying outside of housing, when we get the site, we neglect our own creative juices and sort of start adapting to how they do things. Whereas it's the mere fact that we are new, we already have, you know, the platform to start creating something that's never been done before. You understand?
Mm.
So that's when I realized, you know what, we adapt unnecessarily. Okay, it's good to know that I'm in Gauteng. I need to conduct myself how Gauteng residents conduct themselves. But I shouldn't neglect the fact that I have the ability to actually start a trend. So it's good to adapt to trends, but I should keep in mind that, you know what, I bring something different, and it must be recognized.
And I mean, some of the things that you might appreciate about Bloem can only be appreciated with the privilege of hindsight, when you look back and you're thinking, hey, I think it's time for me to take this from Bloemfontein and incorporate it into some of the suggestions that I make for my clients. Now, looking back into Bloemfontein and the culture that we have here, do you think there's that one, two, or even three things that are distinctive that can only be found in Bloemfontein, which serve as your competitive edge when you're going up against the big dogs that you are finding in that city of possibilities?
Just to name a few, I think the mere fact that in Bloemfontein, everything is taking its, pace. You're not really rushed, and you learn to be patient with yourself and with other people. So when I got here, even clients were like, dude, where are you from? I would get a stylist shout at me for being late. But you are so patient with me. So those are some of the things that I learned in Bloemfontein. I learned that, as much as this is business, but it's another human being. I'm dealing with another human being. So I need to be patient with them, because I don't know what caused them to be late. You understand? So this is one of the things that I got in Bloemfontein. And also resilience. People here just give up easily, because they know I can just get another client tomorrow. But I am able to chase after that one client. A few weeks later, I'm still following up with them. And it's some of the things that I learned in Bloemfontein, that people need to be followed up. Whereas, stylists or image consultants here, they don't really care, because they know I can get some clients, or I can get a bigger client, or I can get a celebrity tomorrow. So if you waste my time, I'm not really going to invest my time as well.
Yes, sir. What kind of clients do you deal with, and in which spheres of influence are they from?
Okay, mostly I deal with businessmen and women, young professionals. And I'm starting to also go into now the more experienced and more mature businessmen.
And then looking at those clients and the different areas that they represent, and then also comparing them to their Bloemfontein counterparts, do you think or the same person in the same kind of industry here in Bloemfontein would care about how they look?
If I can tell you one thing about how they in overall, for example, if you say you're an accountant, or a sales rep, a sales representative, if you say you'd be able to sell me this, first of all, I need to see that in how you look. I need to see, or if you can say, I have an experience in selling houses. I used to be an estate agent. So, you need to sell what you're doing through your image. So, here, as compared to Bloemfontein, it's totally different. If you rock up here and you're just in your humble jeans, in your humble t-shirt, people don't take you seriously. You need to walk the talk. You need to look like your business. If you say you can make money, you better look like money. You understand? So those are some of the things that I've seen. Those are some of the things that I realized. Okay, when Bloemfontein, people were more tolerant, and clients were also a bit lenient with me, and also with me as well. I've also been a bit lenient with clients. You understand me?
And one of the fields that you want to penetrate is the space of modeling.
Yes, sir.
How is that coming around compared to, let's say, if you were to be here in Bloemfontein, in terms of just getting your catalog and your portfolio up and running?
I would forever be grateful for the platform Bloemfontein has granted me. I do not take that lightly. But here, it's a totally different ballgame. I've been approached by, I think, more than 5 agents already by just putting my pictures out there. And, it has been tough for me. It has really been tough for me, because when I check the kind of work they do, the kind of models that they have, it's really, really big agency. So I would say this coming along really well. But if I may add, I've gotten to choose, okay, the agencies that I want to work with. So I can safely say that I am an agent, I'm a manager, and soon we'll be starting to do, we'll be starting to create magic.
I can imagine that it's not only the agents or, you know, potential funders that like your photos and would want to have further conversation about the photos. It so also happens, so, some of the comments, people just generally get attracted. But where I'm going with this is not necessarily to talk about the theft that comes from how basadi ba shebile monna a pereng hantle, but I'm looking at the value system that, you know, a model or a fashion designer or just a stylist, you know, has to live by. Elorin, they will help them and carry them and sustain them throughout the longevity of their career. If Renere ka offer all the powers in the world and you were to mold a stylist where nakamato ahao and make them in the image of your value system, which value networks and principles would you breathe into them? I'm making a modern day, respectable young man who looks good, handsome, takes care of himself, but also believes in these particular values.
First of all, having a teachable spirit, you know, I learned so many things from my clients because, as I've stated before, they're all from different spheres, from, you know, business, from, you know, other professions, you know. So, get to learn a whole lot. Now, you can imagine if I told myself that, you know what, I'm stylist. The audience know everything. And I just disregard whatever they had to say about that. So, the importance of having a teachable spirit, because it teaches you as a person as well how to deal with other things outside of fashion, you know, other things in your life. So having a teachable spirit and, like, being able to just learn from anyone and humbleness, you know, really. I've gotten some gigs that I look at and think to myself, how did I get here? And when I follow up, because I'm a quite transparent individual, when I follow up with people and they would tell you, dude, I just like your aura. I said, like, you're very humble. And so my ideal stylist would be someone who's teachable, someone who's very humble, you know, someone with people skills. Okay, we define people skills differently. You're someone with people skills for you wouldn't be the same person for me, you understand? So that would be someone who's able to gel with everyone, someone who's able to put themselves in everyone's shoes.
Now, I mean, we're getting, unfortunately, to the end of our conversation, but it would be very unfair for the many men that are listening to the show right now for us to drop the conversation without giving them, you know, leaving them with some basic tools as far as, you know, how to take care of themselves is concerned. Now, if I'm a man and I'm listening to you right now and I want to embark on this journey of self-care, of, you know, looking good, smelling good, what are at least five basic essentials or products that I must always have with me that will enhance my image and my presentation?
Okay. Let's start from head to toe. That's what I always say to my clients. First of all, you must know the texture of your hair. You must understand the texture of your hair. You must invest in a shampoo, a good shampoo. You must invest in a moisturizer, hair moisturizer. And your skin, you need to understand your skin tone. You need to know that my skin reacts when I use this kind of skin tone. For example, I know some of my clients react to alkalinic products, you know, for some odd reason, because it works for me. Yes. So, also, I mean, you can't neglect the fact that roll-on is very, very important.